Do note that the views expressed in Thinking It Through do not necessarily represent the views of Good News Community Radio. The views expressed in Thinking It Through are meant to serve as a challenge to your beliefs, whatever they may be, and to see how the Christian worldview stands in light of other worldviews.
Welcome to another week here on Thinking It Through. We begin this week with another chat by the fireside with a relevant study of the book of Revelation with Dr. Gregory Donation, resident minister at Juvenati Mission, as he responds to questions on the book of Revelation. Here's Dr. Donation in part 36 of Understanding the Times.
Welcome, folks. Thank you for joining us for this fireside chat discussing the book of Revelation. As you know, it's the easiest book in the Bible to understand, and it's also so vitally important for the time in which we are living. Even though the events and all the issues that are raised in this book cover a time period from the first coming of Jesus till the second coming, there's a certain sense in which it is so applicable and relevant for our time because we see history unfolding before our eyes. So thank you for joining us.
The seven angels of the seven churches, are they literal angels or are they symbolic, that imagery of an angel?
That's very interesting. The word that is used there is angelos, and traditionally we translate that with angel, but literally it means messenger. So there's a good argument to be made that it might not refer to a supernatural angelic individual or entity, that it may refer to the leadership. And you'll see that some translations even say to the pastor of the church. So it could actually refer to the elder or the pastor or the shepherd, the one who is maybe the chief elder of one of those congregations mentioned there.
In Revelation chapter 1 verse 8 and in Revelation chapter 22 verse 13, we read about God referring to himself as the Alpha and the Omega. What does this exactly imply? Because in Revelation chapter 1 verse 8, it seems to be implying to God being eternal. And then in Revelation chapter 22 verse 13, it talks about Jesus. But the way he says, I'm the beginning and the end, it's like he's talking about time. So what is the implication there?
Well, obviously, Alpha and Omega comes from the Greek alphabet. For the Greek reader, it would not have been difficult to understand because they would have read Revelation in Greek. So when it says that I am the Alpha and the Omega, he's saying I am the first and the last, because Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet. You can't go anywhere until you begin there. It starts with Alpha. Omega is the last letter of the Greek alphabet. When you've reached there, you've covered the whole alphabet. So for the reader in the Greek, this would mean he's the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. And he actually covers everything. He's everything in between from Alpha and Omega. But it's interesting that that is brought out because the book of Revelation is divided into two acts. Act 1, which is from chapter 1 verse 1 all the way to the end of chapter 11. That's the first act. Then chapter 12 to chapter 22 is the second act. And we could ask ourselves, why is it constructed and composed and put together around these two acts? Why not three acts? Why not five acts? There are seven scenes. It's also interesting to note now from the previous studies that we have done that every one of the scenes in the book of Revelation is divided up into two parts. You take the seven letters written to the seven churches, and you find at the end of every church there's a refrain that says, he that has an ear, let him hear. And that's followed by, to him who overcomes, I will give. And then it's spelled out what they will receive. That particular format is used halfway through the seven letters, and then it's reversed. The next set of letters, it starts off with "to him who overcomes," and then followed by "he that has an ear." So it only happens twice. Well, as one time, in the sense that it divides the first part from the second part. So the scene is divided into two parts, just like the whole book of Revelation is divided into two parts. If you look at the book that was sealed with seven seals, you will see the first four seals would be the horsemen. And then when it comes to the fifth, to the last seal, it's a completely different scenario altogether. There aren't any horsemen at all. So it's naturally divided. You go to the seven angels with the seven trumpets, and you'll find that the first number follow a certain pattern and the last follow a different pattern. And the same with the seven angels with the seven bowls. So this division of the book into two and the division of the scenes into two is very significant. The number two plays a very important role. That is because the name of the central figure in the book of Revelation, the Lord Jesus Christ, consists of two words, Jesus and Christ. And after all, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. He says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega." He says, "the first and the last, the one who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty," as is to say, the triune God who revealed himself in Christ Jesus, tells us that there were two parts of salvation history, the Old Testament and the New Testament. You have the law and the prophets, or you have the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus. So you have this idea of the number two surfacing over and over again because it revolves around the person of the Lord Jesus. So the whole book actually is Alpha and Omega. You could say the first act is Alpha, the second act is Omega. He is the beginning and the end of all of salvation history.
Okay, in Revelation chapter 1 verse 18, there it's mentioned about the keys of death and Hades. Are these literal keys or are these symbolic keys?
Well, they will have the same function as literal keys. They might not be literal keys because it deals with the opening and the closing, and that would be by the power of his word. So the function of a key is contained in that statement. It's the Lord who opens up life. It's he who closes life. It's he who opens up death, or Hades for that matter. He has it in his hands. It's in his power. So the effect will be literal, even though the key is symbolic.
Oh. So we have a few questions from a listener. The first question that she asks is, in Revelation chapter 21, verse 1, it speaks of a new heaven and a new earth. Will we then be transported to a new earth?
First of all, we have to bear in mind that God has put a drama on stage. So we must allow our imagination to run a little bit with us. We are sitting in a theater. In front of us is the stage. There's a curtain that is there. Announcement is made. This is Act 2, Scene 4, which is actually Scene 7. And then the curtain is opened and we see the decor. The decor is functional. It helps to give ambience and context to what is busy unfolding there. John says, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth." And that's based on verse 5 in chapter 21, where it says, "He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new." So you see a new heaven, even though there might not be a new heaven in the absolute sense of the word, because heaven has always been heaven. It's always been eternity, and there's no need for renewal because there's no sin in heaven. But the new earth, yes, obviously, according to what we read in Peter and other passages as well, the elements will be burnt with fire. They will all roll up and, you know, it will all pass away. It says, therefore, the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Really, what it symbolizes is that the dispensation or the era or the season where things that existed the way they did, even after the fall of Adam, that's being brought to an end, that has terminated. It's not going to continue like that. That sinful state with its pain, suffering, hardship, difficulties is not going to be there anymore. The kind of life that we will experience after that will be as if it was a new heaven and a new earth. That will be the real subjective and objective experience.
The next question she has, the bride coming down from heaven is a beautiful building. What is your comments on that?
You know, if you look at the measurements of the holy sanctuary in the Old Testament, the Holy of Holies, where God used to come down and manifest his Shekinah, or Shekinah as they say in English, glory, the glory of God that filled that place, and you know, people were awestruck. They were just overwhelmed. Some of them could not even stand in his presence. It was so awesome. It was as wide as it was long as it was high. Now, those are the dimensions of a perfect cube. So when you get this revelation of the city coming down from heaven, in chapter 21, verse 15, it's measured. It says, the angel who talked with me had a measuring rod of gold, meaning it's an absolute standard, to measure the city, its gates, and its walls. The city was laid out like a square. What they actually mean is a cube. It was laid out like a square as long as it was wide. So he measured the city with a rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia in length. Now that's a very significant number. We may have to go into that a little bit, but the number 12 is significant there, and the fact that it's 1,000, which is 10 times 10 times 10, all of that is part of the symbolism and the units used in Revelation to convey a message. Why I say it's a cube, because it says there, he measured the city with a rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia, listen to this, in length, and as wide and high as it is long. So when he says a square, in verse 16, he says it was as long as it was wide. Those are the dimensions of a square. But then he goes on and he steps up a level and he says, we're taking it to another level. He says it's in length. It was as wide and high as it is long. That's a perfect cube. So that refers back to the Holy of Holies. Now, what was significant about the Holy of Holies in the Old Testament? It's the place where God came down. It's a place where he met and encountered his people. It's where he made his presence known and where he was manifested. So this city, therefore, literally refers to God coming down and manifesting his presence in our midst as an eternal reality.
That was Dr. Gregory Donation in part 36 of Understanding the Times, a relevant study of the book of Revelation. And to listen to Thinking It Through again, go to Iona FM and search for Thinking It Through, or download the free GNCR 93.6 app from the App Store and go to Podcasts. Join us again tomorrow for part 37, only on Good News Community Radio.
If you have any feedback or queries regarding Thinking It Through, please email it to thinkingitthrough@gncr.org.za. You can find the live stream, GNCR mission statements, and more at gncr.org.za.